Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
We are recording this podcast. I'm slightly nervous because I'm doing it through my iPad, through GarageBand, and I normally do it through a MacBook. And I'm always slightly nervous that it's not going to record properly. I can't hear it. I haven't got any headphones, you see, because Apple very stupidly have not put a jack input or output on the iPad, which always slightly freaks me out. But I can see that the bouncy things, is that a technical term for the volume or the input? The bouncy things are not peaking, and the metronome's off, and we are
started.
Recording. Yes.
I've turned off the music.
Great.
In the other room.
Okay, I think we're in pretty good shape then. I think it's happening, and we're recording.
So earlier I was just, when we had a false start, I was talking about how people imagine us recording this with 3 other people in the room. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
Like recording it and producing it. But actually it's us. We have explained this before maybe, but
yeah,
and
yeah.
Saskia, who does the editing. And then Olivia, who is, there are 4 members in this band.
Yes.
But you, only, me, yeah. Saskia and Olivia.
Yeah. But as Bono says, he's only one quarter of an artist. He's,
right, we are one quarter of an artist.
We're one
together
quarter
we're
of
half.
An artist. Yeah, yeah, together we're half, but we're not a complete package without the other two.
No.
Yeah. I thought it was quite interesting that, and quite an honest statement, is that he's probably not very good without the other 3 people, you know. He's just probably an average guy.
Can I say, but, at the beginning, possibly that might have been true, but now he is just Bono. I would quite happily go and see him sing without any instruments whatsoever and just stand there because he is...
Well, we're going to see that, I think, aren't we?
Yes, so excited.
We're going to go and see Bono in New York.
As part of Michael's 50th year. Mm. It's a year of events, Michael.
I know, it's quite amazing, really, isn't it? I mean, so I'm really looking forward to that. It'd be great.
It's going to be amazing.
What's been interesting is he's already done about 5 or 6 shows, and I haven't read a single review.
No, why is that?
I don't know. I wonder if the audience have basically been told, don't tell anybody about this at the moment.
Has anybody listening seen Bono talk about Surrender? Please, let us know. What are you going to start with?
I'm going to start with a documentary I've been watching without you. You've dipped in and out.
No, I've watched bits of it. It's amazing.
It. Yeah.
I mean, I've had like life stuff to do at home. And I had a call and I was a bit distracted. But
so I remember this story coming out. I can't remember the timeline of it because if they're not being very specific in the documentary at the moment, but I just remember it happening probably about 10 or 12 years ago. And it's the Bernie Madoff story.
And I mean, it started years and years ago.
Yes.
90s, right?
Yeah, but I can't remember when he got arrested. I think it's probably about 2010 or something like that. After the 2008 crash, I would have thought.
It was definitely because the 2008 crash happens in the documentary.
Yeah.
So it's after that.
But I was always fascinated with the story. I'd never really understood how, I mean, I know how a Ponzi scheme works, you know.
This but it kind seems of pointless.
Selling.
The whole you're thing gonna, seems you know you're going to get done.
Weird, yes. But I think it's... What's fascinating about it is that it's like a look into weird human behavior where you know you're doing something wrong.
Yes.
It's like the ultimate self-harm.
Yes.
But you know the outcome, but you're still walking towards it. And I assume it's a bit like a lie where you tell a lie and then you have to tell another lie to cover up that lie and then, and so it goes, you know, that, that it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and you can't stop it. They said this about, people who became Nazis, like they were just regular people. But as soon as they stepped their toe into the world of Nazism or fascism, they'd already done it.
They'd done the bad thing.
Yeah. And it might have just been one tiny bad thing they did, which is like out a Jew or something like that.
But it grew.
But all of
grew.
A sudden you're in and then you're capable of doing the most horrific thing. So I assume it's the same construct in your mind where the lie just gets too big to pull yourself out of. because you'd go to prison. So you just got to ride it out until its conclusion. But I'm at episode four in. I still can't understand why he's taking billions of pounds of people's money.
I mean, billions and billions. Yeah. Like, this is the other thing. He could have just stopped at a few million, like 100 million or something, and he would have had enough money to live off the rest.
He already had a successful career where he was a multimillionaire. Like, I just couldn't work it out. So ego is obviously one big thing. There's a really interesting thing at the beginning where he said, I want to make people happy and I hate saying no to anybody. And I think there's probably a bunch of people out there, me included, where I know that feeling where you want to say yes to stuff. But you have to grow up enough, basically, to kind of go, I can't do this. I can't help you, I'm afraid, you know. There's some things you got to say no to.
Well, he just turned into, what happened, it looked like he turned into such a bully. But that was probably fear.
Oh, yes, totally.
You know, became more and more of a bully the more frightened he got as it was all just beginning to implode. Could you, because I cut you off earlier, you just explain to everybody what a Ponzi scheme is? Because I was amazed to find out that Ponzi was a man.
Yes. So I guess it was the guy who originated the scam, first of all. But it's essentially where you take in some money. I mean, it happened to me, weirdly. A friend of mine asked me to lend him money, and in return, he'd give me back a 50% return on the money. So for example, let's say I lent him 10 grand. He promised me 15 grand back in a couple of weeks' time. And he was a wealthy guy and I could see he was in a bit of trouble. And I thought, yeah, no problem. He had a great big £4 million house, lots of cars and all that kind of stuff. And I remember thinking, oh yeah, like he's good for it. You know, I lent him the 10 grand. It wasn't 10 grand, by the way. I'm just using that as a number. And 2 weeks later, you know, I got back 15. And then about a month later, he asked me for another 10. So I put another 10 in. And then I didn't get that back. And then he asked me for another 5 and I put that in. So now it was 15 grand in. He was promising me 25 out. And then, you know, and what was happening is obviously he'd done this to a number of people and he was paying them off with my money, then looking for other people's money to bring into, you know, his fund, for want of a better phrase, then he could pay me off. But he was forever spreading money around. And as long as there's money coming in, more money coming in than there is going out, you're fine. Yeah. But what Madoff was doing was just on an
global scale, wasn't it?
Yeah. And he wasn't just doing it with individuals' money. He was doing it with hedge funds. So you had a hedge fund manager. So hedge funds exploded in the 90s, essentially. And this is somebody who takes a bunch of money off a very wealthy person and he bets it on the stock market, but he bets it on things going up and going down. So it's a bit like betting on horses to win
and lose.
And betting on some horses to lose. So whatever happens, you know, you hedge your bets and you don't lose all your money. But a lot of people running hedge funds didn't know what to do with them. So they basically just chucked all their money into the Madoff.
Because he was promising fund. Such amazing returns.
And the returns were all fake, but they were all good returns, you know. And of course, as people were making money, they weren't taking it out of the fund, they were leaving it in. So his fund was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And all they needed to do was produce statements for these people to say, well, look, your investment's safe.
But they weren't making money.
They weren't making any money at all. None of the trades were real.
They were all fake trades.
What was amazing about it is that he backdated the trades. So he went and found trades retrospectively that had happened. And then he said that those were the trades. So if you said, how much money did I make this month? And you say, well, we traded on Apple and AOL or something like that. I'd go back and find the trades. And then if you Googled it, you could research that those trades took place and that's
and
the money you would have made.
They did make money, yeah.
Yeah. So everything looks completely legit.
And he got whistleblown, if that's the thing, quite a few times, but nobody listened to him because...
Well, there was things
like... They trusted him, they believed
him. He was a massive figurehead.
He was a god.
Yeah. And this is something to think about, really, is that when you go and see a doctor or a lawyer or a banker or whatever... You think there's an element of trust around that because they're well-educated and they've got these degrees and all the rest of it. And there should be a position of trust. But as we know, with all sorts of people in these positions, that they can become corrupted. So it's always worth second-guessing.
Yeah, but what's really scary is because, you know, the thing I think that made me so sad was the people who lived in Florida and had worked for 40 years and had scraped through, $500,000 you know, which is a tidy sum of money, but put all of that into Bernie's fund to try and kind of make it their retirement. And this guy was going, I did my due diligence and everything, every newspaper article, everything online, everywhere.
It all stacked up,
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He gets these unbelievable returns. And it was that one person that said, it's impossible to get these returns. And still no one listened to
him. Yeah. It's very funny. The Securities Exchange, was it the SEC, ring him up because he's been, you know, he's been blown. And they say, hey, Bernie, someone tells me you've got a hedge fund. Is that right? Because you've got a license for one. And he's like, nope, I don't have a hedge fund. Like, yeah, I didn't think so. Okay, catch you later. And like, that's the investigation over. You know, it's like, what? You know, it's just absolutely fascinating. But if you're not interested in money or, you know, Wall Street or the banks or anything like that, it's totally fine. Don't think about it like that. This whole thing reminds me of The Last Dance. Remember the basketball thing? It wasn't about basketball in the end. It was about like human beings and
also,
the spirit to move in a particular direction.
Yeah.
This is a snapshot of human behavior.
Yeah.
That is very, very odd because there's so little motivation for him to do it, really, other than ego. And then you think, God, is this what your ego can do to you? You know,
I also feel sorry for his family. You know, they would grow up thinking that they're with this amazing guy and then to realise that it's all fake.
Yeah. And he's got his sons working for him.
Yeah.
For his
bona fide his legit business on the...
What's great is they have this... And it's called the Lipstick Building, and it's a big skyscraper in New York. So when we go to New York, I'd quite like to see that.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? And on the 19th floor is the Bernie Madoff investment trading company. And on the 17th floor is the Ponzi scheme, you know, two floors down.
Nobody's allowed to the Ponzi scheme floor ever.
And when you go into there, I mean, they've got footage of when the police raided the place, you know. It's like a place from the 70s or something. Everything's on old computer paper and written down on old fag packets and stuff like that. On the 19th floor is this highly sophisticated computer system trading. And I think they were saying that he virtually invented the NASDAQ.
Yes, he did.
Which is the computer system that trades. Like, that was his thing. Like, it's just incredible.
It's such a shame I don't know.
So if you're stuck for something to watch...
How many episodes is it?
I think it's a limited series at the moment. So I think there's only six, but they might be dropping more like 10 in total.
Jesus.
But it's a really nice thing to sink into because there's a lot to get your head around. You have to pause a couple of times and go, hang on a second. So, because the banking world is a mystery.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Only because of the language they use, though. Mm. It's actually quite simple. It's just that they sophisticate it with all this weird three-letter abbreviations and all sorts of strange middlemen stuff. Mm. But actually, if you can get your head around what's going on, it's a real education. But like I say, it's not... Don't think about it as about money. It's about human behavior. And I'm really loving it. I wake you up in the morning thinking about it.
Oh,
wow. I go to bed at night thinking about it.
You're supposed to think about me?
Yes. Well, you're on the 17th floor, basically. Yeah.
I'm on the naughty floor. Oh, my God, amazing.
Yeah. So it's on Netflix. I can't remember precisely what it's called, but I think it's called, Bernie Madoff. What's quite funny is that I wrote it into notes to talk about it today. And I put Bernie and then Madoff and it changed it to Madoff. And I was like, that's weird. But it was like, he's made off with your money, you know.
I love it.
Bernie made off with your money. I don't know if anyone's cracked that joke before.
Have we talked about Happy Valley? We did, didn't we?
I think we mentioned it last week.
We haven't watched this week's episode.
We have not. But
I'm so excited.
Pip texted me this morning. He's just said, Happy Valley is so fucking good.
Oh, my God. So, I can't wait to see it.
I'm right.
Let us know what you're thinking about that.
So just for context, it's Wednesday, by the way.
Wednesday.
So we're 2 days out of sync on Happy Valley.
I meant to talk about this pre-New Year's Eve, and I meant to talk about it pre-Bonfire Night last year, and I'm annoyed that I didn't because I feel like dogs may have suffered as a result of me not talking about it. But Beau had an absolute abject horror of fireworks. And the thing about the fireworks is it doesn't even matter if they're 10 miles away. She could hear fireworks when I couldn't hear fireworks.
Mm.
And she would try and dig a hole in a concrete floor. Like, it was awful to watch. Cry, she'd move around. And actually, if I sedated her, sometimes I'd feel like it was worse. And I tried everything.
Yeah.
I tried those jackets that you put on them.
Weighted jacket. Yeah.
And that was okay. Mm-hmm. I used CBD oil.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, We started using tramadol.
Yeah, okay.
So we only had the tramadol for fireworks.
I always thought they should call that tramadog for dogs.
Trauma dog.
Trauma dog.
Oh my God. So somebody sent me this ages ago and it's called Muff Muffs. And.
What?
Muff Muffs. No, Muff Muffs.
Muff Muffs.
It's a really good name for
it's
it.
It's a great
right?
name. It's very catchy. Yeah.
And it's ear defenders for dogs.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, my God. The picture of the dog with its ear defenders on.
How sweet is that?
Shit.
So they say it's got 4.5 stars on Amazon. They're mm-hmm. 22 quid. And they are... Sorry. Just...
Come on, love.
ear defenders for dogs. I just think it's a must.
Yeah.
And I've just scrolled down on the Amazon page. That's why I'm laughing. If you look up Muff Muffs on Amazon, it's worth scrolling down to see all the pictures of dogs and cats with earmuffs.
The cat.
So the cat, look at that dog. So basically, they've got weighted jackets and they've got mm-hmm. earmuffs and stuff. I did try the kind of sock over the ears mm-hmm. for Bo, and that didn't work either. What they need is a pair of the new Apple headphones.
Yes, okay, with noise cancelling capabilities.
Noise cancelling. Yeah. That's what they need. Mm-hmm. Why don't Apple bring out some muffs?
For dogs.
For dogs. Mm. Anyway, these ear defenders seem actually quite good. So people have talked about them. They've said that they work. So if you have a dog that's frightened, try the weighted jacket, try CBD oil, but also try Muff Muffs. You can get them on Amazon. Just type in Muff Muffs.
On that subject, you bought me some Apple AirPods Max for Christmas.
Yes.
So I not thought about reviewing them, actually, but I should probably just give them a mention because they are bloody
yeah,
amazing.
I mean, what's really funny, on Boxing Day, I was walking around the house because you, Sunny, Holly all got a pair. I was walking around the house going, Sunny, Holly, Michael. No one was talking to me because nobody could hear anything because you had... Your headphones on.
Well, I don't know if you remember the other night we'd got into bed here and there was a lot of noise in the kitchen.
That was so funny.
And I was like, it's midnight. I was banging and clanking around in the kitchen. So I wandered through and Sonny had his AirPod Maxes on, making some super noodles. But obviously he had no idea. He was just clanking around and smashing into stuff and banging the pan down on the hob. And I was like, Jesus Christ, lad, it's fucking 12:30. He's like, oh, sorry, I don't know what's going on. But the noise cancelling.
No, but wait. Yeah. The other night, you had your headphones on because you couldn't sleep.
Yes. I couldn't sleep, so sometimes listen to music.
And he was listening to music, and I got up to go to the loo, and I was talking to Michael and chatting away, but not like I was just talking for quite a long time.
There weren't
and
questions. No, there weren't answers.
I was just chatting, and then I went, Michael, and I realised that you had your headphones, and I said. Oh, don't worry. Got back into bed and just went to sleep.
I remember you touched my head and you went, oh. I was like, hello? You got your headphones on? I was like, yeah, yeah. I'll tell you what, Apple have a playlist called Sleep Sounds.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, so you just go onto iTunes or whatever it is and just put Apple. It's an Essentials playlist or an Apple playlist that they've put together.
What's
of
it
just
called?
Sleep Sounds. And it's just relaxing, floaty music,
do you
basically.
Listen to it?
Yeah, well, when I first was getting divorced... and I was living on my own. You know, I was having difficulty sleeping because there was all sorts of fucking anxiety and all sorts of stress and all the rest of it. So I was trying to find ways to relax, you know. And you know what it's like? You reach a point where you think, well, I'll try anything, you know. And I thought, oh, just wonder if there's a sleepy sound thing to help me relax. And you remember we had that Sensei thing?
Yes, that was so nice,
that
Sensei.
That stone that vibrated on your chest.
It was so nice.
So I started to kind of combine music and vibrations and stuff like that. But bloody hell, the Apple Sleep Sounds playlist is lovely. But through these Apple headphones, you know, it's just those mystical kind of sounds with the noise cancelling on is great. So look, they're really expensive, these headphones. They're like £549 a pair. So unless you're really into music and you're really into sound and you really want to try and isolate yourself and relax, then they're maybe not worth the money. But if you like an on-ear headphone.
I mean, they're big, you know, when you're used to carrying around AirPods.
If you get trains a lot, tubes, the underground, you go on flights a lot.
It's a must.
I think it's a no-brainer. It's a really worthwhile investment. And they are much better than AirPods Pro, the little things that goes in your ears, because they isolate all the sound because they cup over your ears. They're really good anyway. So thank you very much indeed, because I love them.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah.
You mentioned Sensate earlier, and we recommended that on our podcast a while back.
Right at the beginning.
And it is, it's still going.
Mm.
It's called getsensate.com.
Oh, okay.
And it's your key to calm, they say. It's infrasonic resonance, and it reduces stress and anxiety and improves sleep quality. We did really enjoy using it.
Yeah.
The vagus nerve calms the primal brain. So it's about tapping into the vagus nerve and calming it down.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. The vagus nerve. Yeah.
I mean, it's a good party nerve, that one. Let's go to Vegas.
Yes.
Let's go.
It really struck my Vegas nerve tonight.
It makes me think of Elvis.
I should maybe that was designed by a friend of mine called Fabio, who is at a place called the Makers Department. And it might be worth looking at this, because there's lots of people out there with ideas and don't know how to bring them to life. So if you've got an idea for a device or a tool or a product that you need somebody to engineer and make a prototype for you, then Fabio is your guy. He came to see me this week.
I haven't seen him
for about 6 months. Yeah, he's a Portuguese guy, but he's an industrial engineer. So he builds things like this device. And he built some hair tools for me a while back. And he can 3D print them and model them and get an electrical engineer in and make stuff. So anything that's like the computer design, Bluetooth connects to an app, or you've got an idea for a product, like a consumer goods product that requires a physical form, then get in touch with the Makers Department. There's a guy called Fabio there. And he's such an interesting...
He's got
such a brilliant brain. Every time I meet him and he's... I saw him this week, like I said, and I'm having some brushes designed at the moment. And he instantly came in and he said, you know what you want to do with this? Is this, this, this? And I was like, Jesus, I'm so glad you turned up, Fabio. You know, he's just got a brain that just works in a completely different way. So it was a bit of a spontaneous recommendation, that. But I meet people all the time that say, if I... had an idea for a product.
Yes, well, you don't know where to start.
Where do I go?
Yeah, where do you start?
And if it's a physical product, then get in touch with the Makers Department, a guy called Fabio. There, you can go on their Instagram or whatever and give him a shout. And he'll give you a meeting and give you a rough idea of how long it'll take to make stuff. But he project managed the whole thing from start to finish and then can put you in touch with China for a factory that would make your whatever it is for you. Which all my competitors now go to Fabio and make loads of hair tools. Don't make hair tools, obviously.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I want to talk about the Brothers Comatose, which I just showed you before we started. And it's a YouTube channel, but they're also on Instagram as Bros Comatose.
Great.
They are an American kind of... Let me just find out exactly, are they really brothers? The Brothers Comatose is comprised of brothers, Ben Morrison, Alex Morrison, so those are two brothers, and Gio Benedetti, bass vocals, Philip Brezina, and Ryan Avalone. And they are like a country band, but a kind of cool... They are... the inspired unemployed of country music.
Okay.
Like kind of cool looking, young,
a bit
trendy.
Ironic.
Not ironic, no.
Okay.
They're not comedy, but looks wise, they're kind of edgy.
Yeah.
Anyway, on their YouTube channel, the Brothers Comatose, did a track with AJ Lee, Harvest Moon.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's so good. But I mean, you could just deep dive into them. Yeah. And if they ever come over and do any gigs here, I'm coming.
Mm.
Like, it's so, they are so, so good.
And what are they called on the Instagrams?
Bros Comatose.
Bros Comatose. All right.
They're great.
So, we went to see Derren Brown.
Oh, my God. I forgot.
Yeah, he made you forget.
He made me forget.
Before we talk about Derren Brown, shall we order something from the Deliveroos?
Yes.
What do you fancy?
Oh.
No, I'll do it.
You
did last night.
I don't really mind.
Waggers?
Yeah.
No? Yeah? It's 25 to 30 minutes. Okay, I'll have a pad thai from Waggers.
I'll go salmon teriyaki sober.
Salmon teriyaki sober. This is what it's like for us folks. This is what we order every time we come to Waggers. We're doing good. When I woke up this morning, I was a bit stressed that I was going to run out of time. So I've got a meeting at 2 o'clock, then I've got a podcast at 4, then I've got another meeting at 5, and then we're out for dinner at 5:30, then we're at a show at 7:30.
Liz Kinsman.
So I'm like up against it today, but this is really going to be good if we get lunch in. I'll be on fire.
Have we pressed record again?
We're recording. We've been recording
all
this time.
Okay, great.
We went to see Derren Brown, Showman. It was a gift for you for your birthday from Andy and Fenny.
It was. Can I just say also, the gift of a show is the best
it's
gift.
It's a great gift, isn't it?
Best.
Yeah. I've loved Derren Brown, all his TV shows. I've never watched one and been disappointed. I've always found them utterly fascinating.
I've been to see 2 shows live with him.
But from a TV production point of view, the way that you're playing with the viewer, I love the interactivity of those shows where you think you're being told one thing and then you find out it's another. There's one he did called Steeplechase about betting on horses that just blew my bloody brains out, you know. So I was very excited to see him. I'd never seen him before. So I was nervous, you know, because I wanted it to be as good as I thought. So there's a thing in the show where it's a really good trick. I'm not going to.
Did you see my face?
Yeah, I did see your face. I basically shouldn't say anything about it.
Don't say anything.
It's really good. And you think one thing and then you realise you've been slapped in the face with another.
Mm.
But one thing I would say is that the show is a kind of tribute to his father who passed away.
That was lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah. And there's a lot that the magic tricks and the way the show is woven is around a tribute to his dad.
And that's such a nice idea to have a core theme.
Yeah, that you anchor the show to. And I think if anybody out there who's lost a parent or a friend or a sibling or anything like that, I think this would be a cathartic thing to go and see, because there's a resolution in it that I think is powerful and really good. But
he does a lot of writing with a guy called Andy Nyman.
Yes.
Who I met in Dead Set.
Okay.
I met on Dead Set, who I was so fangirling over because he is in Death at a Funeral.
Yes, he is. Yeah, yeah.
And he stole the show.
Mm.
He is so funny in it. It was one of my favourite movies ever, and it kind of didn't get the enormous recognition that it deserved. I would love to watch that again with you.
Oh, Death at a Funeral.
Oh, please.
Yeah, they remade it, didn't they, for an American
was
audience.
Awful.
Yeah, no, well,
the American one was absolutely pants.
Mm.
But it's such a funny film. Anyway, Andy Nyman, amazing actor, really interesting, also wrote Ghost Stories, I think.
Yes. I didn't realise that Derren Brown worked with Andy Nyman. I just assumed Andy Nyman was an actor, but he's clearly...
He's everything.
A magician.
Yes.
Expert,
oh, yes.
And
yes.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, okay. Totally.
And obviously he's a producer.
And the other thing, there is a show that Derren Brown isn't in.
Yes.
But that he has written with Andy Nyman with lots of magicians that's happening in September. So watch out for that.
Yes.
We've booked tickets already.
Yeah. When you go to the show, there's a little QR code you can scan, but I don't know if you can get access to that QR
code outside of
the theatre. But he is on until the 18th of March at the Apollo Theatre on Shaftesbury Avenue. Tickets are from £20 each, but I'd spend some money and get yourself a good seat.
And can I also say, though, even it doesn't matter where you're sitting, you can be part of the show.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to say how, but he can pick people from right at the top, middle,
circle, the stalls,
like
whatever.
Everywhere.
Yeah. And
it's very inclusive, and the theatre is small enough to really feel like fabulous. you are with him.
Mm.
It's brilliant.
And he's such a good communicator. I think his real skill is that he is talking to you.
Mm.
It's not just a performance. It's
and it
a conversation.
Doesn't feel scripted. It
no.
feels like he's just...
Mm.
And he goes off script a lot, you know, because obviously he's talking to people or something happens and it won't be expected, or he's brilliant.
Presumably the show is different every night because the audience is different every night.
How
and he's
fun.
Pulling people out of the audience.
Mm.
There was one girl who got pulled out at the beginning and then we met her in the interval.
Yeah.
Because obviously the instant thing is she's a plant.
Yeah.
And then you think, what's going on here? And then we obviously met her and her husband her boyfriend.
No, it's her boyfriend. They've been together for 6 months.
Yeah, okay.
It was so cute.
Yeah, it was very cute, wasn't
and
it?
And I thought to myself when I met them both, I know this is quite off topic, but I thought, these two are meant to be together.
Yeah, they're a very good match.
They're very, very good match.
But obviously we got a chance to slightly quiz her and say, so what happened up there then? How did you feel? But she was suitably vague about the whole thing, you know, but she just loved the experience,
But
it was really nice to be able to get to talk to her. I wouldn't hesitate. If you're in London and you're planning a trip to London, definitely go. It's
make the trip to
London. It's got a short interval, but I think it was done by 10:30, something like that, you know. But I loved it. And at the end, I was like, wow. Boom. It was brilliant.
I'm going to finish off
with,
you know, my friend Anna McDonald, who has given us many, many, many recommendations on this podcast, and they're always good. Her son and my son do boxing on a Saturday, and we crossed over this weekend, and she's standing at boxing in this kind of robe. You know, women and men that go sea swimming, what's cold water swimming?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is called a D-robe.
So they do something called a dry robe, don't they?
Yeah, but that's a different brand.
Okay.
So this is a brand called the D-robe. And the reason why I really like this is because of the cut of it. And it's got a bit more shape to it. But it's windproof, waterproof, fleece lined, but also really stylish looking.
Yeah, nice. But it is for when you've been swimming. Open water swimming.
These were made for women who get out of the water, they're freezing cold because they're windproof, they're long to the floor.
Yeah, like a huge duvet.
It's like a huge duvet, but it's waterproof and windproof.
Okay.
That's the big thing because the wind is the thing that makes your body temperature plummet.
When we watched Bad Sisters, they all wore them, didn't they, when they got out of the sea?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So they are around £179, but if you are a keen cold water swimmer, it's a must have. And I've got to say, Anna looked extremely stylish in it. And they are hot on sustainability, which we always really like. So, they are called drobeoutdoors.com.
I took Joel and Sonny to Brighton last Sunday because Joel is doing a bit of modelling. So then when we were on holiday, we met this guy called Gresham Blake, who turns out was somebody who's a clothes designer, and he made you a suit.
He did.
For Big Brother.
Celebrity Big Brother.
Yeah, when would that have been? 2008 or something like that?
Oh, God, I don't know. Around them.
It was very nice because we all met on holiday and we all got on like a house on fire, and I really loved Gresham and his wife and his daughter. They were just great fun to hang out with. Anyway, my son started to do a bit of modelling and stuff like that, and we met Gresham and Val for dinner. And I showed him a picture of Joel. He said, I want to use Joel in my next campaign. I was like, great. So we went to Brighton for Joel to do a fitting with Gresham, so he's made him a couple of suits. I went to Brighton for the afternoon to do that and then have a mooch about. I'd just forgotten how bloody
it's great isn't
Brighton
it?
Is. It's like a funny little subculture all of its own. It doesn't feel like London or Margate or Blackpool, or it just feels like a completely different vibe. And then there's this funny little street where a friend of mine's got a hair salon, Simon Webster, but there's a really cool shop up there called Jump the Gun, which I've had some clothes from in the past, but it's a kind of mod shop. They venture out a bit from mods, but lots of gingham shirts and Crombie coats and... you know, fishtail parkas and stuff like that. But then loads of other lovely knitwear and everything. Jump the Gun, it's called. Yeah, you can go on their website and have a little look. But
do they do extra small?
Well, All mod shops really do extra small. I was going to talk about one here, but I'm going to save it for next week because you bought me a coat from there for Christmas. Yeah. Oh my God, I just love the coat. And then I've realized, you know, they do lots of stuff in my size. I'm very small, so it's tricky to always get stuff small. But Jump the Gun was great. Gresham Blake is great. That whole little street area is fab. And then obviously we just walked around the lanes and stuff like that. It was a blustery, windy day.
I love the seaside. I love the British seaside on a blustery, windy day. There's something so dramatic about
it. Yeah, I absolutely loved it. So I thought I'd love to go to Brighton a bit more. So yes, if you're up for that, I'd love to just nip to Brighton. It's about 45 minutes away from us. And I think, well, yeah, we'll go down there.
Totally.
Grab some lunch and have a mooch about.
I love Brighton. Shops. I'd like to live by the sea one day.
Yes. I mean, I have to say, when I was there, I did think, bloody hell.
It'd be a nice place to live.
It would be a nice place to live. And I did, the thing crossed my mind. And Sonny, who I was kind of mooching around with that day, really was dead set. I mean, his partner wants to go to Brighton University.
Oh, great.
Or Brighton College or whatever it is down there and study film, I think. So I think they were thinking, well, they might go and base themselves in Brighton for a bit.
Great.
Amazing, you know. So, yes, okay, let's do a few shout-outs because I'm going to save everything else for next week. I hope everybody's doing well.
I'm quickly going to just say, if you want to make yourself happy and you like shiny things and you're a bit of a magpie like me, look up Diamante Pens in your Safari browser or Google browser, whichever you prefer, because I was given by Cheryl the most amazing. So it started off with somebody from Long Lost Family gave me a pen with a massive diamond in the top. I used it on The Masked Singer and I used it so much it ran out. And then Cheryl gave me a set of the most unbelievable pens for Christmas, covered in coloured Diamante with a huge, great big Diamante diamond in the top of it. And if you look up Diamante pens online, the joy, even just looking at all the shiny things, it's so good. They're about like £2 a pen.
Yeah, yeah, so they're just very sparkly.
So good.
We have a message here from Sue Stewart, and she sent us one back here, which I don't ever remember reading out, but it says, My Policeman, Harry Styles, a beautiful, simple film that's on Prime.
Oh, yes, I've heard about that.
My Policeman. But it's linked weirdly to another message that she sent. But she also says, P.S., don't forget your Bob Ross Christmas decoration. I'm trying to find the special shiny one I recommended last year. There seems to be loads of Bob Ross unofficial merchandise now. Yeah, I think you're right. But you very kindly bought me a Bob Ross calendar for Christmas.
I did.
And it's like a little deck of Post-it
page a
notes.
Day.
Yeah, and you tear off the page, but each page has got a Bob Ross picture on it. He must have painted more than 300 and...
Yeah.
However, how many days are in a year?
365.
God, I've lost my brain there. Anyway, Sue Stewart goes on to say, not even finished watching this yet, but wanted to recommend. It's called George Ezra End to End, and it's a lovely watch and thoroughly enjoying it. But it follows George and two uni friends following COVID walking the length of the country.
Oh,
I've never heard of that before.
But they walked 1,200
miles in 95 days.
Wow.
It's got 8.6 on IMDb.
Wow. I've got to say, do you remember I did, what's it called? Saturday Kitchen? Was it Saturday? It was Saturday Kitchen.
Yeah.
And George Ezra was on it.
Yes.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
What a nice guy.
Yeah, I bet.
Did you see this morning, the other day, yesterday? Mm-hmm. You were on it.
I was on it, yeah.
With that woman who had been catfished.
And
that was on
MTV.
That's
George
on MTV
Ezra.
This week, I think. And she was led to believe that she was falling in love with George Ezra. They were messaging each other 20, 30 times a day. And he asked her to marry him.
She said no, though.
She said
she?
No.
Yes. That's how much she loved him.
oh my God. I mean, it's like heartbreaking. Anyway, he is a very, very, very nice man. I'd actually like to watch that.
Yeah, me too. It sounds great.
What's it called again?
End to End.
Okay.
Thanks.
I'm writing it down.
Sue Stewart. That's a really nice recommendation. And The Policeman, the Harry Styles thing, I'd be interested in as well. Emma Wood, since your last podcast, we have been bringing proverbials out of Happy Valley series, now season 2. I had to convince hubby that he didn't have to always fancy the lead character, no offense, Sarah. But he's got a thing for Amelia Fox, so Silent Witness, I think, Amelia Fox.
Yes.
She is very sexy, Amelia Fox. He's now sold on it. Just utterly fantastic TV. Sarah is just amazing, and we really hope she gets some recognition for this. Thanks for recommending. We started from the beginning. Yes, we started.
Great.
Remember, we went back and did series one recently. Oh, it's really good. You're absolutely right. So Sarah Lancashire is fantastic.
So good.
I had a girlfriend when I was younger called Keely, and she, Sarah Lancashire.
You know, it's quite funny. I feel like I know Keely.
Yeah. I bet. But Sarah Lancashire was Raquel Watts in Coronation Street. And Keely looked like Raquel. So Keely was often called Raquel around Leyland when we were knocking about together.
Does she still look like that?
I mean, I don't know, to be honest. It's been that long since I've seen her, but it's very funny. So when I watch Happy Valley, I always go, oh, yeah, it's a bit like Keely, you know. Wasil, how do you say that name?
Wasila.
Wasila. Thanks. Thank God for you. The movie, The Menu, is a must watch.
Oh, yes. We saw that.
Yeah, we watched with Ralph Fiennes.
Yes.
Yeah. It was very good. And then Netflix, Kaleidoscope. Do you know about Kaleidoscope?
No.
So Kaleidoscope is a new thing that's on Netflix. And it presents, it's 10 episodes. And as long as you watch the blue episode last, I think it is, you can watch all the episodes in any order.
Oh!
And you get a different journey.
Oh, my God.
So Netflix gives you an order to watch them in. You don't have to watch them in that order, of course. And if you go online, there's loads of reviews that basically say, oh, this is the best order to watch them in. I watched them in this order and this is what I got. I don't really know anything about it. I noticed that Sonny was watching it, but it sounds
We've
great.
We've got so much to watch.
Yeah, yeah. So Kaleidoscope.
I've written that down as well.
So thanks, Wasila, for that. And sorry for not being able to pronounce your name. The Last Tango in Halifax, of course, that's another Sarah Lancashire thing. Hi, Michael and David, I highly recommend this series, a binge-worthy watch from the cold winter evenings, 8.4 on IMDb. Obsessed with this since you recommended it on your podcast during lockdown. Written by Sally Wainwright, who wrote Happy Valley, set in Yorkshire, so there's plenty of nout and out. truly splendid drama, yeah. Last Tango in Halifax. I've never seen that, I don't think.
I'm writing that
although
down.
I think we've talked about it on the pod because the people recommended. And then Wendy Milsom, a book recommendation from Richard Osman, The Bullet That Missed, and his other stories in the Thursday Murder Club Mysteries.
Oh, Richard Osman.
Yeah.
He is a brilliant author. I mean, he's a very, 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 very clever man.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
He really bloody is, yeah.
Yeah, his books are bestsellers every time. Can I just quickly say menopausing's back in the top five?
Mm. Yeah, well done.
Thanks.
I'm looking at this. Mark Adderley.
Is that Mark, that's who's going Nadia Sawala.
Nadia Sawala. So he's messaged us, yes.
Yeah.
Hi, Mark. I thought that was you, but I couldn't see your icon here. So on Monday, he said, hi, guys. Not sure if you take recommendations, but would love to know what you think of this book, an eye-opener on male behaviour and the experiences of young women navigating relationships. In other words, bloody difficult. Keep doing what you're doing. I love it. So it's from Megan Nolan.
Megan.
And it's called Acts of Desperation.
Nolan. Yeah.
And Olivia has said thanks to Mark. He said, coolio, thanks back. But Mark,
acts
this
of,
is a personal thank you.
Desperation.
Yeah, Acts of Desperation by Megan
now.
Nolan. That looks great. I might have a little listen to that on the audiobooks because obviously I've got two boys that are also navigating relationships at the moment. So it'd be very interesting, no doubt, for them, but maybe give me a little insight into what's going on in the world.
The must-read novel of 2022.
Mm. Thanks, Mark, and we're delighted that you listen, and I absolutely love your posts and your YouTube channel on movies. Brilliant.
And I love their relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you want to go out for dinner at some point?
Yes.
I think we've talked about wanting to try and hang out with you two a bit and go out for dinner if you're up for that.
So,
that would be great.
Mark, this is like we're proposing here.
Yeah. Okay, Deliveroo's on its way. Let's wrap things up. It's nice to talk to everybody.
Bought it.
Have you?
Yeah.
Great. I might see if they've got an audiobook and I'll have a listen.
They have.
Yeah, great. Have a lovely weekend. We're going to the theatre tonight to watch...
Liz Kinsman. And we're going again tomorrow.
Tomorrow night we're going to watch Sarah Baron, the comedian at the Soho Theatre, who's married to a great friend of mine, Jeff Lloyd. So.
Who is a brilliant broadcaster.
God, yeah. You know, the guy should be.
Tell everybody what he did for you.
Well, I put it on my reels, yeah. So he'd got to me and said, look, I'd love to take you to see Sarah at the Soho Theatre and maybe take you out for dinner. When are you free? And then I was thinking about it and got back to him. So he made me a reel just for me personally in Final Cut Pro and everything with a voiceover and music and all the rest of it. I posted it on my stories.
But it was mimicking your reels. That's what was so brilliant. He did a parody of your reels. Even like you waking up in the morning and then going, I'm hoping Michael will see.
Yes. Oh, God. It's absolutely brilliant. And then sent it to me.
You might have to post it on the Making the Cut.
Oh, okay. Yes, we'll post it on Making the Cut. Because you could follow his podcast. He's got one called Reasons to be Cheerful.
Yay.
So Jeff's got a podcast with Ed Miliband. He's got a few podcasts, but he's got one with Ed Miliband called Reasons to be Cheerful. And it is a huge stonker of a hit. It's a brilliant podcast and it's self-explanatory, really. But Jeff's just so bloody good. I absolutely love him. So anyway, he made us this reel just to get me to reply to his message. That's what was so funny about it. It served no other purpose other than to nudge me.
It worked.
It worked. So we're going to see Sarah Barron.
Really excited
Yeah,
about that.
So am I. We've got a fun-packed week this week.
Yeah, it's really good.
And then I'm going to the Entrecote again on Friday.
Shut up. I'm so jealous.
My brother Grant's coming over from France.
Wow.
It's his favourite place. I don't know why I've started dancing, but I have. Okay.
Okay.
Wrap up.
We'll see you next week.
Lots of love, everybody.